The Museum of Applied Arts and Sciences is hosting a symposium called Media Publics and the Past to be held at the Powerhouse Museum at Ultimo. The bill features academics, media producers, historians and curators discussing how we've arrived at the media industry today. They may also have some ideas about how the past might help us predict the media of the future. I'm talking to Dr. Justine Lloyd from Macquarie University, who is one of the symposium organisers. How are you, Dr. Justine?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. Are you wearing a jumper?
No, I'm sort of standing half in the sun, half out of the sun, trying to keep warm.
That's the next best thing. And so can you tell us how the symposium came about and who was involved, who is involved?
Sure. So I'm at Macquarie University, where there's a Centre for Media History, and we collaborate quite a lot with different universities, including UTS. So the Centre for Public History at UTS is also involved, and most importantly, the Powerhouse Museum, which is here in Ultimo, also known as the Museum of Applied Arts and Sciences. And I don't know if people know, but they have a fantastic media collection. They have objects like video recorders, TVs, radios. They have a little cinema inside where you can go and see how cinemas used to be in Sydney before a lot of them were pulled down.
I feel really bad that I didn't know that, because I think I need to go right after this. Keep going.
I'm here this morning and there's lots of school kids arriving to go on their tours, so I'm sure they'll have a visit there this morning.
Oh, cool.
And people might remember that from coming here as a primary or high school kid.
Yeah.
But yes, the museum does have a specialty in contemporary media, really, and I mean contemporary, the last 100 years or so. So they are looking at how Australian society was really changed by radio and television, and how that really affected the way we live at home.
And what aspects of the past is the symposium exploring in relation, or Australia's relationship with the radio, I guess, is what you just mentioned?
That's my interest. So I did a fellowship here last year where I looked at a lot of radio material, and this event really came out of that in conversations with curators, also other researchers. What we're really focusing on today, and we asked a range of people to think about in their research when they're writing history, how they actually engage with archives, the documents, but also the objects that they work with in their work. So some of the people who are here today are TV producers, as you mentioned, also some historians, and they all have to engage with the sort of material culture that we have. Mm. And there are some big gaps in that. We don't always know, for example, how people really watch TV or how they listen to the radio, because none of that was really recorded. But we can go into the archives and we can look at letters that people wrote, how they criticised the programs or they got excited about the programs. And that sort of gives us a little bit of a sense of that background. But I guess the real focus today is about the past. So how do Australians remember the past through archives, and how, when we're putting together media products like radio programs or online or TV programs, how we can go into the archives and get some really great stories to pull out and circulate about, which might really surprise us that we didn't know or we didn't listen to originally.
Well, I mean, this is the radio. I'm really interested about, you know, what you're pulling apart with the radio and how it's affected the Australian media landscape. I mean, what can you tell us today about that?
Well, radio is still incredibly popular, which you'd be glad to hear.
Yeah, thank
goodness.
People
who are listening are probably listening, you know, as they're moving around. They might be listening in their car, might be listening at home. People might be listening on the computer, but they're still listening to radio. An audio stream pretty much is a very convenient way and a very engaging way, because you can hear the sound of people's voices, you can hear music, you can hear all these sort of layers within the sound that you access. So radio, even though we have so many different kinds of media now, radio is still, if in lots of surveys that are done, it's shown that the audience is still engaging very often with radio, and they really take a lot out of it. So they have favourite hosts, or they have favourite programs or ways or music genres, and that really goes back to the history of radio, the way it came into the home, that it was so revolutionary because it really brought people together much more closely. It's a little bit different to read someone's quote in a newspaper or go to a film, and you know, it's all sort of packaged and maybe not necessarily live, but there's something about radio, even in the age of online media, that really connects people and makes people feel that they're really in the same place and time.
And how have you seen the relationship with radio change? Or has it, I mean, I don't really sit around the radio anymore that I, you know, people used to do that when something was breaking or maybe a story was 7 o'clock in the evening, and you know, the whole family would sit around doing that, and I certainly don't do that. I do it when I'm maybe traveling in the car or I've got it on my iPhone. What can you tell us about how our relationship to the radio has kind of changed and evolved?
Yeah, so that's true. I think that it isn't something that everybody does together necessarily. Now maybe TV might be that, but even a lot of surveys and research is showing that's even gone. Everybody's watching their own device.
You know,
they've got their own Netflix account or their own downloads, and they can just go and avoid being in a group. And that often, I think, there obviously used to be a lot of arguments probably in the family about who was going to listen to what and what show were you going to watch when you only had one TV. We've avoided a lot of that. But I think we've lost a little bit of that sort of sense of we're all watching something together. But I do think that at historic moments like, the death of a leader or at election time, that some of those moments we actually all hang around and we watch. We might be, checking in on our devices at the same time, or we might be flicking channels, but we're all kind of focused at those particularly really when the whole nation or the whole society is coming together.
Yes.
But I think, if you also think what has happened with new media is it's allowed us to shift radio. So I know that 2SER has a great archive where you can go in and podcast or download or stream stuff that you've missed.
Yeah.
And that means that live element isn't quite there, but you get a lot more depth. You can listen a bit differently. Often you want to listen to something. Often people say, it was such a great radio program, I couldn't get out of the car, or, I stayed at the train stop and missed my bus, whatever, because the program was so engaging. And I think now it allows us to, often I hear something and I think I've listened to it and I've listened to it live, and then I go back and listen to the podcast and I hear different things. So I think there's more layers now to radio.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And with that in mind, what do you think the past can tell us about the future of the relationship between media and the public? I mean, especially in particular with fake news, being the new thing that we need to all watch out for, especially for journalists.
Oh, that's so interesting. There's another symposium on this morning and I just popped out to do this interview, but they were actually talking exactly about that. But in our symposium, we're looking, one of the keynote speakers is Deb Masters, who worked with Four Corners and had produced the Killing Season series, which is about the
great series.
Rise and fall of Kevin Rudd and the rise and fall of Julia Gillard. And something that she did was look through a huge amount with, the team that worked on that show, looked through a huge amount of archives and pulled out those moments that there was often slight sign of something conflicting or something that was against what people were later on talking about. And that's the thing about archives, is that they record everything. They're a bit like our unconscious. We often don't know that we've heard or seen something until, it pops up in a dream or it comes up later on when we're thinking about something else, daydreaming. But archives are a bit like that. They record everything. And what she's done in the Killing Season is put together a lot of those moments, and it tells a different story. We live in an age of media management and really trying to control the message, but archives really show us that it's possible to see many perspectives. And I don't think post-truth is necessarily a new thing. I think all particularly repressive governments have tried to control the truth, and they don't like a lively public sphere. They don't like people criticising them because they want to retain authority. So this isn't a new thing. But I think what we have now in this age is we have a huge amount of social media. So there might be an official photographer, but we might have lots of people with their smartphones taking lots of photos and putting them up in an archive straight away. So you think of Instagram or Facebook as a kind of archive in that way.
Yeah.
And if we pay attention and if we allow the archives to tell us what's going on, then it's really hard for anybody to say there's a singular perspective on things. I'm not saying that there's no truth, but I do think that there's many different stories.
Sides,
and if we put them more and more together, we get a better picture of what the reality is, rather than just saying, oh, no, there's only one truth. I know what the truth is. I was there. There were millions of people at my inauguration. This is a very different attitude towards knowledge.
We could certainly talk about this for, you know, the rest of the day, but thank you so much for us joining us, Justine.
It's a pleasure.
Keep going.
We look forward to finding out more what the speakers are going to say this afternoon too.
Great. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Bye.